Welcome back to another episode of The Radio Psychs, your premier podcast for insights into everything mental health. I'm Dr. Aaron Haddock.
And I'm Dr. Rhonda Yu. We're psychologists who care about people and bringing science to practice.
And we're so glad to have you join us.
Please note that the information shared in this episode is solely intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical or mental health advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Today's topic is empathy.
I have a million-dollar idea for an invention.
Ah, what is it?
It's called, get this, the Empathy GPS.
Now that sounds interesting. What does it do?
Picture this. You're in a car cruising down the highway of understanding. Unlike a regular GPS that just tells you when to turn left or right, the Empathy GPS will provide you with emotional guidance. Listen to this.
In 500 feet, take a left turn toward compassion.
Whoa, dude.
Okay, now imagine hearing this after someone cuts you off in traffic.
Recalculating route for a more understanding journey.
And not only does it give directions, but it also provides emotional support.
You've arrived at your destination, emotionally fulfilled.
Genius!
Right? Okay. So from here, let's pivot on over to today's topic, empathy and mental health. But before we go any further, let's make sure we're all on the same page about what empathy is. Aaron, can you define empathy for us?
Absolutely. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of others. It's like stepping into someone else's shoes, feeling what they feel, and creating a genuine connection that goes beyond words. It's like a bridge that connects us, fostering understanding and compassion. It binds us together in the human experience.
In times of crisis, the ability to truly comprehend what others are experiencing becomes a lifeline. And we're living in tumultuous times. As we continue to witness upheavals and uncertainties in the world, it feels so important to shine a spotlight on the need for empathy.
It really does. Empathy is a catalyst for positive change. Rhonda, can you get us started on how empathy affects our mental health?
Yeah, of course. Let's start with mirror neurons. Mirror, as in that reflective surface you look at in the morning to check yourself out. Mirror neurons are specialized cells in the brain, primarily in areas associated with motor functions and sensory processing, that play an important role in our ability to resonate with the emotions of others. These neurons respond to actions that we observe in others. When we see someone experiencing joy or pain, these neurons become activated and fire. So our brains mirror or simulate those experiences that we witness, as if we're going through it ourselves, creating a shared emotional connection.
And that's not all. While understanding someone's feelings is a vital aspect of empathy, it's equally important to translate that understanding into action. Empathy isn't a passive state. It's an active force that prompts us to respond compassionately.
Now, studies have shown that when we witness someone in need, our brains not only empathize, but also activate regions associated with motivation and action. It's like our brains are hardwired to move beyond mere understanding to proactive engagement.
That's right. Empathy is a neural catalyst for action. Consider this scenario. Let's say we see a friend struggling. When this happens, we feel their pain, but our empathetic response goes beyond that. It triggers a cascade of neural signals urging us to extend a helping hand or offer support.
And that's where it gets interesting. Empathy has a ripple effect on our hormones. When we engage in empathetic acts, our brains release oxytocin, the love hormone, as they call it. It doesn't just enhance our bonding, but also motivates us to take positive actions, reinforcing the link between empathy and compassionate deeds.
So you're saying our brains have a built-in reward system for empathetic behavior?
Yeah, I am. When we step beyond understanding to actively support others, our brains respond with a surge of feel-good chemicals, creating a positive feedback loop. Our brains are practically handing out gold stars and high fives when we show empathy and take action.
I love neural pats on the back.
Yeah, me too.
So when we apply this to the practicalities of life, say in the workplace, empathy and action prompts us not just to nod in understanding, but to actively support, ranging from smaller gestures of kindness, such as offering assistance or providing some resources, to macro level initiatives that shape organizational culture and create a conducive work environment.
Yeah, it can be a catalyst for creating spaces where people feel seen, heard, and supported.
Exactly.
And when we consider societal implications, when we look at what can be accomplished when we collectively translate empathy into action, we see that it can propel movements, fuel philanthropy, and drive positive change for many. It also seems to be a critical piece in mitigating bias and systemic racism. But empathy itself doesn't guarantee a path toward social good, does it?
No, it doesn't. Cultivating empathy can result in actions that promote social good, but it has to be the right kind. If we're not practicing the right type of empathy, we might even cause harm to ourselves and others.
That's interesting. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So earlier when I described what empathy is, I talked about how it involves understanding and sharing the feelings of others, like stepping into someone else's shoes. This is often referred to as self-oriented perspective taking. While there may be benefits to this, this type of empathy, which involves imagining yourself viewing the world through another person's eyes, has been associated with some negative effects.
Okay, I can see that. If we're imagining ourselves in another person's position, it's possible that we might experience a lot of distress, and that might even get in the way of our ability to respond in a supportive manner.
That's it. When we show this type of empathy, we are risking taking on emotional distress that can be harmful to us.
I mean, in my experience as a clinician, I've certainly experienced anxiety as a result of over-identifying with a client's emotions.
I have too. It can be really stressful, and we react to it in a way that's similar to what we'd experience when faced with a threatening or painful event.
Imagine experiencing a lot of this, whether you're a clinician or not. It can be a lot, right? It can be taxing. And when people feel mentally and emotionally taxed, they're less likely to practice empathy.
That's true. And then there's the argument that empathy, while helpful to some, may be unhelpful or even cause harm to others.
Let's take the workplace, for example. Let's imagine one where empathy is abundant, but it's selectively directed toward a certain group of individuals. They get a ton of understanding, support, and encouragement.
And then there's the other group, right? They find themselves on the outskirts of the empathy bubble. When they experience struggles, they don't get the same level of understanding, support, and encouragement.
In fact, this type of selective empathy, well, as you can imagine, can inadvertently create a divisive environment when the other group feels neglected, undervalued, and even isolated, fostering a sense of inequality.
Yeah, I can imagine. Rondi, how do we cultivate the kind of empathy that can lead to social good?
Great question. And we're going to explore that next time.
We're out of time, but stay tuned. We'll have more to share in our next episode on empathy and its link to mental health.
Thank you for joining us on this cerebral safari through the wilds of empathy. Until next time, keep your minds curious and, dare I say, hearts compassionate. We're looking forward to exploring more on this topic soon.
Take care and be well, everybody.
Take care and be well.